Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our epistle reading today comes around every so often in our lectionary, in our readings. And I'm sure for many of you, it triggers reminders of weddings that you've been to. You've heard that passage read at most. It seems to be a standard at many weddings. And I would argue it's probably, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. But to hold it up as the standard of marital love is asking for trouble. And I know, I've heard many pastors talk about, well, you know, if you replace the word love with your spouse's name, you know, then that's what it should look like. And I think, oh my gosh, you're really setting them up for failure, aren't you? You probably not ought to do that, or ought not to do that. It is a beautiful passage about love, and about faith, and about hope. However, the passage that we read about love is an image of love that we, as human beings, cannot attain to. I mean, it just takes a couple of minutes to read through and say, yep, I missed that one. Yep, I missed that one. Yep, I missed that one. And all of a sudden, you're like, wow, that's rough. Love is hard. Love is difficult. Love is a challenge. We don't hear those words, but that's what it is. The love that Paul is talking about is a love that, of course, as Christians we can understand, only comes through Christ. It's a love that only comes through the Holy Spirit and the power of God. It's not a love that we as human beings can conjure up or stir up in us or somehow make believe that it exists among us, because you just have to look at the descriptors. Patient and kind? Yeah, sometimes, but not always. It does not envy or boast? Yes, sometimes, but not always. See, we fail at living up to this ideal of love that Paul sets out for a very good reason, and it's because it's not about us. The love expressed in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 is not about us. Yes, it's about stirring us up for, you know, trying to strive for these ideals and trying to achieve them, but recognizing very early on that this kind of love is only a love that comes from God. And it's only a love that exists in God. In 1 John, he writes, God is love. So this is a descriptor of whom? Of God. If love is all of these things, then if God is love, then put the two together and you get this description of who God is. Who God is for you. Who God is for me. This is a beautiful passage about God's love for us and how we live in that love every day. And how his patience, far exceeds our patience. His kindness, ours can't even hold a candle. No matter how much we try to be kind people, it doesn't equate to God's kindness. So Paul writes these words to describe for us this love that exists between God and his creation, between God and his people, and how important that is for the everyday. And there is probably the best reason to use this passage in a wedding, because sometimes the wedding is all about the day, but the marriage is the day today. So you can make it through a day being kind, being patient, being all of the things that the descriptors show. Maybe you can make it through a day, but it's the day today the world in which we live every single day, that this love becomes oh so important for us. Paul ends the passage of chapter 13 with the words, "So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." At the beginning, we read, at the end of chapter 12, he writes, "And I will show you a still more excellent way." Now here's one of those grammar things. The word for the greatest is also the word for the most excellent. Paul begins the passage by saying, "I will show you a more excellent way." And he ends by saying, "The most excellent way is love." So now why does Paul set us up with love being the most important? And this is where we as human beings sort of get it wrong sometimes. Because, as I've already said, this is a descriptor of God and his love for his creation and our life in that love of God. Now, sometimes we take that word love and we extract it from Scripture and we use it in worldly ways and it loses all of its meaning. We extract it from this passage and we put it out there into the world and it takes on its own meaning. And so then if we try and do the reverse and put that meaning back into here, it doesn't work. We try in this world to say that love is the most important thing of all, and yes, it is, but not in the way that we mean it. So here, why is love, in terms of God and his creation and God and his people, why is love the most important? It is about the day-to-day. It is about the minute details, the maybe mundane things of our lives. That's what is so important here. Because throughout this passage on love, he's describing this relationship, this back and forth between God and his people, the prophecies and the knowledge and all of these things that in our day would puff us up. But in God, it brings us back down because we realize we don't know as much as we think we know about God or about anything. So he says, "Faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the most excellent of these is love." Faith is important. Faith is that thing that is given to us in our baptism. Faith comes through hearing the word. Faith is that thing that clings to all of the promises of God in the day-to-day. Faith is necessary. Faith is vital to survive this age, this world in which we live in, because without faith, we can't cling to the promises of forgiveness in the supper. Without faith, we can't read Scripture and understand that the promises belong to us. Without faith, none of this stuff makes any difference because it just all kind of comes and goes. But faith is that thing that clings to those promises, that holds to the word of God and says, "Yes, this is for me. This is what gets me through each day." Faith is what holds us together with God in the day to day. It's vital. It's important. We have to have it. Without it, we flounder. Without it, we cling to other things that don't deliver on the promises that God has for us, as much as they may promise to. So faith in the day-to-day is vital for us. But it's not the most excellent. Even though sometimes we kind of feel like it's the most important, it is and it isn't. It is for us in this day-to-day. We need it. We have to have it. That's why it's so important for us to continue to share the gospel so that the ears can hear the word of God and through faith come to believe. And Paul says hope is something also that is very vital, very important for the day to day. We have to have hope, otherwise why do anything? Without hope, there's nothing to get you up in the morning. Without hope, you're really kind of dragging. There are all sorts of things in this life that try and squish that try and take that away, that try and scare it out of you. This hope that we have in biblical sense, in scriptural sense, in theological language, the hope that we have is, again, in the promises of God, that he will deliver on his promise to forgive, his promise to love, his promise to be merciful, his promise to do all of these things, and in the very end, the promise to take us to be with him where he is. The hope we have is in things that haven't been delivered yet. The faith we have is in things that haven't been delivered yet. Faith and hope get us through every single day. Faith and hope give us that energy, even though sometimes it's a little subdued, that energy to get us through the day today, to continue to believe in God, to trust the promises of Christ, to look at the cross and say, yes, that was for me that he died. That's faith and hope together. But the thing about faith and hope is they have an end. Faith and hope are not eternal. And I know this may be a little bit of a challenge for us, because faith and hope all have an object to which they cling. And once that object is delivered, you don't have to have faith and hope anymore. It's weird to say that as a pastor. But the object to which faith and hope cling are the promises of God, right? So when those promises are fulfilled, do you need those things which cling to the promises anymore? No. Because they've been fulfilled. So when, here's where it comes down to some really weird stuff, when are those promises fulfilled in us? When do we no longer need faith and hope? When we die. When we are in the hands of Jesus, we no longer need faith and hope. When our eyes see God face to face, we no longer need faith and hope, because there it is. It has become a reality. It is that in which we live then for all eternity. We don't need faith and hope anymore. We're not waiting for anything anymore. So faith and hope have an end. That may be when we pass on, and that may be when Jesus comes again, but either way, faith and hope are going to have an end. We won't need them when we are in the grave. We won't need them when we are raised up again in the glorious resurrection to come. We don't need faith and hope when the reality of those promises has come to fruition and we have them in our hands. But love is different. The love of God, as given to us in Christ, is eternal. The love of God is that which gives us life here in this place and there in the next. In the now of this life, in the day today, and the not yet of eternity to come. Love is that thread that goes through all things. Love is the thing that sews it all together so that it is complete into eternity. Because again, as 1 John says, if God is love, God is eternal. Love is eternal. Love never ends, as Paul says. Love does not have an ending. Faith and hope have an ending. Love does not. Love takes us through this day and into the next. Love sustains us for all eternity. So while the Beatles, you know, saying all you need is love, well, that's true, not in the way they meant it, but in the way God means it. Love is that which unites us, that holds us together, that when that glorious resurrection happens, when Jesus calls us all out of the grave and we all stand before him, it'll be love that holds us. It'll be love that binds us. It'll be love that connects us all, and again, not in an earthly way, but in God's way. So faith, hope, and love, they're all with us every day. They all abide, but the greatest, the most excellent way is love. Because it is eternal of God. And we live in that love now and forever. Amen. Now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard our hearts and minds always in the true faith to life everlasting. Amen.